What is up, guys? Welcome back to the Rip City Rundown podcast. I know there's a lot going on in the NBA right now, but even with the biggest trade in NBA history possibly going down, we're talking about something else. We're talking about something a little more fun, in my opinion, because the Blazers are quietly won 7 of their last 8, with that one loss being against the best team in the NBA, the OKC Thunder. They just beat the Phoenix Suns last night. They beat the Magic twice. They beat the Damian Lillard Bucks about a week ago. And they are rolling. And like, I think officially for the first time since we traded Damian Lillard, there's more than just hoping. You're actually seeing kind of what the future of the Blazers could be. And we're actually having a conversation of like, well, how do the Blazers approach the rest of the season? I'm curious to hear your answer because we haven't talked about that yet, but how are you doing? And I mean, I'm assuming you watched that game last night. I mean, it's just fun to watch the Blazers again. I sit down and I watch the games and I'm enjoying myself.
Yeah. 7 of 8 is, didn't expect it.
I wonder when the last time we did that.
I don't know, actually. But yeah, I think we had kind of assumed this season, the organization came out at the start of the season saying, you know, don't have high expectations. Like, this is a strong draft class. We're not going to be good. I mean, we're still not good, but recently we've looked like a team with a pulse. I'm trying to enjoy this stretch, and I'm not going to be one of those people that are like, we have no direction. Like, we need to get the best possible chance at flag. I'm not going to be that person, because I do think there's value in this stretch here, because you are seeing what you have now. Do I think that the Blazers are smart by like having a bunch of veterans still on the team? Like, no, but if we're going to win games, and it's going to be because Toumani is a defensive force on that end of the floor, if Denny is just a freaking bull in transition and is putting up 18, 8 and 6, and then like Scoot's playing well, like if we're going to win because our young players are winning, then I'm so happy. I live by that. That's where I'm fine with being in quote unquote NBA purgatory when you're getting the 9th pick. Because this draft is really good. So I am like, wow, we really are winning. In Atlanta, it's possible. New Orleans jumped up, got Zion. They were pretty low odds
Year. Right? They were pretty low that year.
And then, of course, Atlanta wasted their magic on Reese Shea, which is unfortunate, but I'm very happy. But I do think I'm still at the deadline. Where my thoughts are at the deadline is, let's clear the runway for these guys, because I really want to see what we have with Scoot and Shaden. And I don't necessarily want it to be like, okay, we'll just give them long runs here in March and April when half the league is tanking too. Yeah. So like, I don't know where your thoughts are. I'm super excited though. I sound like I'm down, but I've seen a pulse from this team. I've seen a pulse.
Yeah, and another reason we probably sound down is because, I mean, it was pretty late last night when the NBA world was set on fire. So it's been a long 12 hours, or if that, since that happened. Something about kind of what you're saying, you want these guys to have a runway and everything. This is obviously the trade deadline episode. I think we can both agree the two most likely guys to get traded from the Blazers are probably Robert Williams and Jeremy Grant. Would you agree with that, yes or no?
I would agree. Yes, I would agree that Robert Williams is number one. I would bet. Yeah. I would bet money he's moved. I'd lean Jeremy over Ant, but I do feel like there's a clear path to me of Ant. Like, Orlando can be as stubborn as they want. They suck, and are literally Simons is went to IMG from the area. He would help, but you know, Orlando is stubborn about trading draft capital. So I think Grant is also at this point, like, the contract doesn't suggest this, but I do think Grant, in terms of the NBA view of him, I think he's underrated at this point. He's had such a terrible season, but he's had a lot to give. I think I think a change of scenery would do him very well. Robert Williams, though, is definitely going to get moved. I think, look, I mean, the Lakers just traded away all rim protection. I did see a report. They're looking at Robert Williams III, Nick Claxton, guys like that. They are out on guys like Vucevic. I'm sure Miles Turner is a dream for them, but I just don't think the Pacers do that. Robert Williams, you're not going to get back a first-round pick for Robert Williams. Now, if you package Jeremy and Rob Will, and like, it's, you could get that 31 first, maybe. But you got to make salaries work if you're going to trade Jeremy there. You're looking at like Rui Gabe Vincent, guys like that. So yeah, Rob Will, Jeremy. I if we're going to win games, I don't want it to be because Jeremy Grant is winning the game like he did in, or was it Miami or Orlando? Like, that does nothing for this franchise, respectfully.
And yeah, I think he obviously had that one game where he had a very good game. But I think a key with all this is, like, most of our production over this stretch is not from those guys. Obviously, Anthony's had a little good run here, but even last night, like, Scoot, Shade, and Denny, Tumani are kind of the four that have played consistently the best, and more focusing, it's really Denny and Tumani, in my opinion, that have consistently kind of been the best. So you could move on from Jeremy Grant and Robert Williams, and your team doesn't really change that much. And just like looking at kind of how the standings stack up right now, we are four and a half games out of the play-in. I'm just having the conversation.
Looking at standings.
We're four and a half games out of the play-in. And then when it comes to teams that are behind us, Brooklyn is the closest team behind us, four games back. And then obviously we're not falling behind, most likely New Orleans, who's seven games back of us in the West. But like Toronto, I think at this point, like really the only, like how many teams do you think are going to have a record better than the Blazers by four, five, six games the rest of the way? When you're Washington, obviously down there, Utah's going to stay down there, Charlotte's going to stay down there. Toronto and Brooklyn, I don't think are talented enough to make up the wins on the Blazers. And then you have a team like New Orleans who's talented enough, but seven games back of the Blazers.
And they just
lost. So, like, kind of, you're kind of in this no man's land. So why not just, like, continue to win?
What did I say at the beginning of the year? I think we both said this. Like, we're not measuring in wins and losses. We're measuring on growth of the young guys. And I think we partly said that because we just weren't expecting wins. We were like, oh, it'll make us feel better when we win 16 games. But the young guys are playing. Type mindset, but I'm gonna hold true to that. If Scoot and Shaden, Denny and Two are gonna lead the Blazers to 34 wins and we are eighth in the draft, like, I live with that. Because yes, you can, this kind of goes back to the thing we talked about with Dame, is like, do you want the sure thing in front of your eyes, or do you want the potential of all these like top five picks? I mean, those aren't guaranteed. I think Flagg's gonna be amazing. I'd love to have Cooper Flagg, but like, I'm not gonna trade like, ooh, we could go. The Blazers aren't getting their number one pick. We don't get nice things, all right? We're just going to say until the draft we're not going to get it, so that way we get it, right? But, like, do you want Ace Bailey at three, or do you want, like, these four guys we have on the roster to show, like, life and show that they can win games? Like, and we're not We're not just winning games. We're beating the poop out of some of these teams. And so I think they've all shown life. Very interesting stat I have for you, Cole. Shocking stat, actually. Number one is Scoot Henderson leads the league in field goal percentage on pull-up jumpers. That's number one.
I saw that. Was that a Haberstrom stat or something?
It could have been. Number two, this was in regards to Luka. Luka, the Mavericks roll men, shot 70% this season out of pick and rolls with Luka. Every time Luka was the dude in the pick and roll, the dudes that finished the play, the bigs, shot 70%, okay? That is second best among all players who had set up at least 50 shots or 50 attempts. Number one is Scoot Henderson.
Wow.
So, if you just...
I mean, he's been playing...
That is that Scoot or is DA, you know, when DA's locked in?
Yeah, they've got a nice little chemistry. I do want to say, I'm going to go back. So, on December 20th, I posted that it's time to have a conversation about Scoot. So, I'm going on Basketball Reference right now. And since December 20th to today, Scoot is now averaging, going into that, he was like at 10 points or something, very bad shooting. Since that video.
Can I guess 14 what his points? Stats are?
Yeah, okay. Go ahead. We're four points.
14. Sorry, I heard that.
Give me exact. 14.3. Give me assists.
He's averaging 5.2.
5.5. Rebounds, if you want to guess, you can.
3.3.
Give me his field goal percentage.
This is he's been as the kids would say, he's been stroking it. He is shooting from the feet. This include three, just field goal percentage.
This is field goal percentage as a whole.
He's shooting 46%.
46.8%, almost 47, which is up a lot. I can't remember the exact number he was at, but that's up a lot. And then 3-point percentage.
38.
41.6. And the free throw attempts are up, and the free throw percentage is up, and the steals are up, and the turnovers are down. What is it? Is it me? Did I really light the fire in him that much?
I think it's confidence. I just think it's confidence. It's weird. I don't want to say it was like this, like it was a switch, but there are signs of life that Scoot, you know, I think his start to the association was so just terrible that people have thrown out people think it's like a hot take to say he could be an all-star. And by the way, there's a difference, and we've talked about this, of being all-star level and making all-star teams, because it is political at times. Like LaMelo didn't make it. Like, he's all-star level, didn't make an all-star team. Mm-hmm. I think Scoot can be all-star level. I still think he can be that. Now, you want to project out, can Scoot be like the way Darius Garland is with the Cavs, or is he more of like a table setter and our dudes are at other spots? I think that's the question with Scoot going forward. But again, like Scoot and Shane are coming off the bench still. And I think as a franchise, I don't think that's a good thing. You need to see what you have. You have to see what you have in big minutes on a nightly basis. And if you started that right now to the end of the season, to me, that's still not enough time. So like, I will be very, very upset. I don't care that we've won 7 of 8 per se. I do, because it's fun to watch, but I will be very upset if we don't make any moves at the deadline.
I think a key thing, though, over the last couple games, specifically last night, is like Simons only played a couple minutes in the fourth. And yes, we were blowing them out, but like KD and Book played until like 5-4 minutes left. Simons only played 29 minutes. Scoot and Shaden played 25-24. So like, it's more balanced now, because we are seeing that like we can play with Scoot and win basketball games. And Chauncey, unless he's having behind closed doors conversation with Joe Cronin, this is the last year of his deal. So like, he's probably coaching to win.
Okay. So that's another thing, is there's been some organizational, like, I won't say a disconnect, but you have Joe Cronin, who's probably like, it's in our best interest to lose long-term for the sake of like getting that dude. Now Scoot could be that guy. I mean, as of right now, definitely not, has a super long way to go. But Chauncey is a coach who is, that's his profession. That's how he makes money. What do you think? He's going to mail it in, especially if he's not like Will Taylor. The Jazz are like, you are here long-term. So Will Taylor's going to be okay with losing, because he knows he's not going to get fired. And he knows that he doesn't have to like Chauncey has a resume. Like, Chauncey wants to coach somewhere else if we don't re-sign him or rehire him. And like, when he has a winning percentage of that all time, like, that's not good. So he's going to try to coach and be like, look, I took this team and they won 35 games or 38 games and they got the 10 seed. Terrible long-term for the franchise. That's what mid-teams do.
How many wins do you think Chauncey has in his career?
It is below 100. Or did he just get 100?
I think he just hit 100. That's why I said it. I think but it kind of was like, whoa, he's only at just 100. He's been here for, this is what, his fifth? Is this his fifth year? That's a lot. Wow, Chauncey. That also shows like how long it's been since the, so, like,
I got a question for
Blazers
you.
Of our era, our lifetime.
My question to you is, how do you think we'll re-sign Chauncey? Because of his, I feel like he has a big role in Scoot's development at this point.
Yeah, here's my biggest fear. We go on a little run this year, and by run, I mean we end up with 35 wins or something, 33 wins. Basically, we like end the year from where we were like 13-29 or something, or 13-28. We go winning record the rest of the way from there. So we end the season 31-29. Whatever the math is on that, I don't know what it is. I am afraid that we're going to re-sign him, and then like the goal going into next year is like, let's go make the play-in, and then suddenly like, now that there's expectation, he's gonna kind of fall on his face and like prove that he's not a great coach. I don't know. I say that just because like, we saw him when he was trying to win the first 1 to 2 years of his career, and if it takes you this long to like get consistent wins, I just don't know. There's still nothing that Chauncey does that I'm like, wow, I can see that for the future. But then again, I'm not as in tune with coaching as I once was when it was the Dame era. So
yeah, I do think a lot of I think Chauncey has coached well, but I do think the roster and the talent on it plays a big part in a coach. I think this was the version of Scoot last year. We don't win 7 of our last 8, and there's nothing Chauncey can do about that. So I do think there's talent from a roster perspective involved here. I hear your hesitation, and I kind of hope we don't. But again, like, if Scoot and Shaden's arc is like linear with like Chauncey being here, that you have to at least consider it. I'm not saying that like Scoot and Shaden can't have another coach; they easily can. But Chauncey's making us think about it, and that's kudos to him.
Yeah, and here's where I'm at. Like, I think if you're gonna re-sign him, you don't give him any long term. You may give him 1 year, maybe a one with an option the second year. Like, who knows if he takes that? I assume he will, because he's not going to get another head coaching job at the moment. But I'd like to just see him in a season with expectation and then make my judgment now. Because at this point, it's like, if he doesn't win, we can chalk it up to he doesn't have the talent. They're not ready to win. And when he does win, we can say it's Chauncey's good. So he's kind of in like a win-win situation right now, where it's like, he doesn't have to take the blame if we lose, and he can take the credit if we win, in a way. So like, yeah, just sure. I'd like to see him with expectation. There's nothing that makes me think we should keep him more than we should get rid of him at this point.
That's fair. But I'm on the other side. 2 months ago, we weren't even considering keeping him.
Yeah, very true.
So another question I have for you, moving away from Chauncey. So DeAndre Ayton, he's 25, but yet no one ever mentions him as a part of this team's future. Do you, like, I think it's a trap if we kept him long term, just because of the mentals. Yeah. And just like, he F's off his minutes every now and then, according to Shannon Fry. I don't know if you saw that tweet. See that tweet?
Yeah.
But man, when he's locked in, he is really good. And I've seen Phoenix fans on Twitter being like, Phoenix won the trade because Nurk and Ayton like cancel out, and then like Grayson's better than Kamar right now. I'm like, you guys
right now. First off, Ayton is just a better. And honestly, maybe Nurk was better for the Blazers back in the day, and Ayton was better for the Suns. But where they're currently at right now, Ayton is by far better than Nurk, and then Kamar is better than Grayson Allen.
Ayton, people are the thing that people are going to say about Ayton is, like, he's on and off all the time. And then he's an empty calorie stat guy. But he anchored a team to the finals 4 years ago in 21. Like, anchored by the sense of, like, defensively anchored. Like, yeah. And he wasn't, like he can be a two-way player here. You're not, like, you put Aiden on the floor, you're not like, oh, we have no offense. And you don't put him on the floor, you're like, oh, we have no defense. Like, he can do both. It's just here. And it's also, like, I'm so curious what his next contract is. If he stays with Portland for most of it until he's expiring and he's like putting up great numbers, I don't know.
I think he's got a really good chemistry with Scoot, which is very important. And, you know, maybe it's one of those where like he's kind of finding a new motivation, new whatever for basketball, because like Scoot, like I feel like you can feed off Scoot's energy a lot. Maybe he's feeding off of Scoot and kind of getting that fire in him again. But I mean, it's situational. It's so dangerous though to stay with him, just because like you said, when we weren't winning games, it's like Ayton stinks. And then at the end of last year, Ayton was putting up great numbers and then came into the start of this year and was terrible. It's just so tough with him because he's so volatile. Like,
but his
it's one of those things where you're not actively shopping him. Sure, maybe you listen to offers if someone comes for him. And if it gets to the point where we got to give him a new contract, you just have a long conversation and you figure out like a good number. Because at this money, like, again, all this stuff is so hard because I feel like so many of these players, it's hard to know, like, will they contribute to winning basketball when it gets to playoff time or trying to make the play-in playoffs next year? Like, and that's why I'm so confident in Denny and Kamar the most, because they translate to winning basketball, and I know they can be a part of the future. I really do know that Scoot can be a part of the future, because the thing with all those three is I know they've got like some dog in them. Like, Sharp's been awesome the last 2-3 weeks. I'm still like iffy on his dog. He's obviously shown a ton with me. Simon's the same thing. Aiton the same thing. Like,
and that's the separator to me, at least when it comes to the draft. Like, people are always looking for those like FU competitors because everyone's so talented. But like, you look at every like star in the league or young dude, like Castle, for example, that dude has, he played at UConn. Like, he's mentally there. Like, I think Castle is a Swiss Army knife. Giannis is a psycho. Shea is, you know, not as like physically imposing, but he is a killer. Same with Tatum, even though like there's media created narratives about these guys, but like Aiton, Nurk and Aiton are on the other side where it's like, I think Harden's over there too. I think Harden can be, and Embiid's over there. Like, these mental blocks, and it's just tough because Aiton, we always are like, oh, the, you know, doesn't fit the timeline thing. But like with Aiton, like, he's 25, like, he's young. He makes too much, but like, I wouldn't be surprised if Joe Cronin, like Scoot, Shaden, Denny, Tamani, Aiton, that's a good five. Like, it honestly, the more I think about it, the less I'm surprised that we've been looking good recently, because Tumani has launched himself into this stratosphere of defenders. Like, I was thinking about this. How many defenders, like on ball perimeter defenders, are you taking over Kamara in the league? Just off the top of your head. I'm probably taking Lu Dort.
Yeah, I'm taking him.
Ty Vanderbilt, maybe.
Yeah, like there's definitely guys out there, McDaniels, but I'm not.
Herb Jones?
Probably. Like,
I don't know, but my point is, like, Kamara has all defensive, like, Kamara has DPOY potential. He probably won't.
He's that good, yeah.
But he's that good. And so he's in Portland. Denny is, there's a reason we gave up what we did for Denny, two firsts, which some people think Denny's part of the Dame package, which I'm fine if we want to say that, because the pick we got in the Drew trade, we used that in the Denny trade and Brogdon. So it's kind of like a transitive property thing. But like, Denny and two, the sad thing, and as I think we talked about this, the sad thing is, like, I told Cash, our brother, I was like, how good are the Blazers if you replace Anfernee Simons with prime Dame?
I mean, yeah, that's the question I feel like I'm asking all the time. Like, if you put Dame on this roster, this is probably the most talented, maybe not most talented, but most like well fit roster he would have. And you say the Scoot, Shaden, Denny, Kamara, Aiton, five, is like, that's a good five to build on. I'm still like going back to just like Aiton as a whole. He's just he's low on the priority list right now. If I had to prioritize people, I'm not going to go like in order because I don't necessarily know, but I know Denny Kamara is up there. Scoot Shaden is up there and Klingon's up there. Those five would be the five that I'm like most.
If you're doing an expansion draft and you need to protect five guys, that you're protecting those five.
Yes. Perfect. And then after that, in terms of like,
you know who it is?
I don't know who.
Well, it's, you wouldn't do this guy, but you know, who's been playing well. You're a big hater of this guy.
It's not Chris Brett. Get out of here.
He's been playing some basketball, though. He's been playing some basketball. He's been decent. It's weird because at this point, it's like, what do the Blazers really need to take that next step? So, you know how we talked about, I made the Moneyball joke, like, we're not going to get Flag, but how good Flag is, we could get 25% growth from Scoot. We replace him in the aggregate. So, is what the Blazers, obviously the Blazers need a alpha scorer, alpha two-way scorer, and forget two-way because Dame wasn't two-way, but like that alpha, like all NBA guy. You have to have the dude. Are we banking on that dude being on the roster, or like, do you think Cronin is just gonna try to strike gold in the lottery? Do you think Blazers are quietly kind of accumulating some assets here? Does he do a trade one day that Neil never did for like an alpha wing? And the crazy thing is, like, and I mentioned this to you, we're like, we don't need an alpha. We have Denny and two. They're great. But like, I kind of envision Denny being this like sixth man, utility guy, like Swiss Army knife, dude who doesn't start but closes games, like over Shaden, for example. If Shaden never, I don't know. Like Tumani, can Tumani be your third option on a championship team? I don't think he has the offense for it right now, but he could develop that. Like, who knows? Yeah. That's the thing. It's
I think you're definitely looking at, your hope is the guys on the roster. I think you're too good at this point to think that they're not, and striking gold is hard to say. Honestly, I'd have no faith that he would make that trade. I feel like kind of the MO for Blazers GMs over the last, however, as long as I can remember, is just like, we've got what we got and we're going to ride with our guys. Like, we're not going to take a risk and go out there and trade for some stud if it meant trading young guys. Honestly, if there's one guy on the roster, like the guy with the most value on the roster of those five guys I named that I would personally trade if it came down to like trading for a stud, is like, I'll probably center it around Sharp, I would say, if you had to.
Yeah.
Because for one, he's got probably the most value on the team, and two, I just have a hunch he's probably never going to be like, it's hard to say though, but I've always kind of been lower on Sharp than most, I feel like. But I would, if I were to center a trade, if I were, say we're trading and we want to go trade for Devin Booker, say we're trading for Devin Booker or something in 2 years, because we need a stud two and we need a two that's going to fit this team and help us win a championship, like I would center it around Scoot, or not Scoot, Shaden.
Yeah. So. Where, but
that's,
are you
so far in the future?
Where are you on Joe Cronin as his, what, how's he, how has he been doing at his job? Is he, as he wears the same suit to every game?
Yeah, it's funny. I feel like the Denny trade was amazing. Like, that is the best move he's made as a Blazers, as the Blazers GM.
Asked for two to be thrown in.
That
they
is,
said they
yeah.
said they like two, and I think a big part of it is freaking Mike Schmitz, dude. Like,
yeah, I think that was great. I think the Klingon pick, like, it was a good move by the GM, but that's nothing special. I think if anybody was at seven,
I think that was more. I think Klingon. That was more of like this. We, I mean, fine.
Let's just get the best player available.
He's the best player available. I mean, I know Edie's has. PD probably has a higher floor right now, but Klingon's younger and it's probably going to project out to be a better defender than Mr. ED, especially out.
Yeah. Of paint. Oh, please. I'm taking Klingon over ED 1,000 times out of 1,000. ED is just going to be a good bench player because he can't be, he has to be the center of the offense. So he can be good off the bench and be the guy to go to off the bench, but that's it. Like, if you watch Memphis games, like, just point guards just going like this every time, calling up Edie into the pick and roll, just every time. Like, Amen Thompson was just cooking
an accent every time.
But with that being said, you're saying Joe Cronin. It's the same thing I'm answering with every question you ask me. I think it's like, it's still a wait and see. It's still like, I'd love for him to just like I can't give him credit when we're 20 and 29. Like, we've looked good, and I can acknowledge that we've got great players that for the future on this roster, but like, he hasn't done anything special. Like, he's still like, what if going into this summer he was like on the hit list, he's at a 20 percentile in my approval rating, he's bumped it up to at least a 50% based on his moves in the summer, probably a little above that, because like, again, I think he's finally like going after a vision. I think it's a crazy thought exercise. We were never going to do it because Scoot was the obvious pick. He could have been first overall, like everyone was saying in many drafts. But like, if you took a men in that draft and you are building around a men Sharp, or really just a men Denny and Tumani, like, those are three identical types.
I'll say, what are you gonna say? I think Scoot is gonna be better than Thompson.
That's, I mean,
it's not crazy, yeah, because okay. Like, I just don't think Thompson will ever develop the shot. I think Thompson is gonna be like the dream. I'm just saying, like, okay, sure, Thompson will probably end up being more valuable, but I think Scoot's gonna, like, it's hard to project. Thompson's just like, that's doing fun. Everything he's doing everything but like creating his own shot. It's all like I don't want to say he's like Draymond because he's way more athletic than Draymond was, but that role, I don't know.
Honestly, I think the Blazers, honestly, their best route to success is going the Rockets route. Like, you don't have maybe that star stud, but you've got four or five really good players.
Then
once you hit that top four seed, top five seed with a bunch of good players, then you're starting to think about making the move. Like, the thing about OKC and why they're so good is they didn't luck into it, but like, the fact that Shea's as good as he is why they're good. Like, Shea was solid for most of his career up until now.
That was.
Don't even get me started. Oh my gosh. But like, Shea wasn't expected to be the star. So if Shea wasn't a star, if he was like a solid 20 points per game scorer, they wouldn't be where they were. They would be like a Rockets team where they don't have their star, but they've got a lot of good players. But Shea became the star. Obviously, I'm thinking the Rockets are hoping Amen or Jalen Green turns into like that star. Like, Sengun's star, but not really a star. He's good.
Sengun made the All-Star team strictly because they needed someone as the 2 seed.
But that's why, because like, they don't have the guy that's like really the All-Star. I think the Blazers can go that route, and not like you're trying to say we don't want to have a star, but like, you know what I'm saying? Like, that could be the possibility that ends up happening. Specifically, go ahead with your question.
It's related to the Rockets. So I don't want to get you off course. You wanted to finish your thought.
I was kind of just going to switch it up to just focusing directly on the trade deadline.
That's where I was going. So perfect. We've been doing this long enough to where we know where to go next. We'll segue in the trade deadline with the little Rockets talk. Ime Udoka, head coach for the Rockets, absolutely loves him some Time Lord. I've seen Robert Williams to Houston for Jabari Smith Jr. What do you say?
I'm doing that.
I'm doing that. Are you kidding me?
I'm 6'10", doing that.
6'10 shooter.
We're still not at the point where we're like, we can't bring on Jabari Smith Jr. because we already have two good wings. Like, you can't do that.
Forget
still
that.
Got a stack talent.
Yeah.
That is something that's like interesting though, that I think about a lot, is like, we're so locked in on Tumani and Avdija after these last 2 weeks that we're like, we don't need any more wings. We got our two wings, but like, that's not how we should be thinking. Like, if
not
we,
at all.
I mean, even if like, it means bringing in a guard at this point, like, you'd still do things. Obviously wing more important than guard, but like, it's what a lot of like national media people say. Like, you turn on the Blazers and you're like, every player that comes into the game, probably minus Chris Murray. And that's not a shot. That's like genuinely saying Chris Murray because he's the only guy getting play time that like, and maybe like Jabari Walker. Every other player you stick on a championship team and they're at least in probably the top 7-8 of the rotation.
We just
which
don't
is
have
crazy.
The number one and right now like, probably the number two.
Yeah, we have a guy that like maybe you students have a guy on our team that and maybe at the current moment not a number three. We have good 4 through 6s.
But and that's why like going the Houston route is good. But at some point, Houston's going to have to like actually go all in. Because are you taking Houston and or forget Dallas? They're like Dallas. Are you taking Houston or are you taking the Lakers?
No, I'm not taking Houston over most of these. And by the way, if you want to hear our thoughts on the Anthony Davis, Luka Doncic trade, go check out the RCR show.
Because they don't have a stud. They don't have like who's their bucket getter in the last 5 minutes.
But I think right now they're kind of going to go 1 year and see if anybody on their roster do that before they make the move.
But I'm just saying the Blazers are farther away than people think because the hardest thing do in the league is to find the guy. And that's why I think people were so shocked and pissed that Luka got traded because like
they had the guy.
The Mavs had the guy. Like that is a guy. And so
hypothetical world. Screw money and what would work. What are you giving up on the Blazers to get Luka?
What we have now?
Yeah.
I'm giving up to get Luka. I'd give up.
You're giving up Sharp, Scoot.
I give up at least 2 out of 4 of those guys, and whatever draft capital they want.
Yeah, and honestly, like, I'm giving up Jeremy. I'm giving up Sharp. I'm giving up Scoot. Because screw the guards, we have our guard. Like, if you stuck Luka on this current team, and you took off Jeremy. Scoot Shaden is probably a playoff team.
Yeah.
Which is crazy. Like, that just goes into why the trade's so bad.
Yeah, that's why the trade is absolutely crazy. But yeah, dude. other trade deadline things, do you think Simons gets moved? Yes or no?
Yes, I think, or at least I think, and this is where it's like a tricky thing because you don't know what does it mean to actually try to do it if you don't actually do it. I think Joe is going to actively try to move Simons. I think we've seen his minutes drop a good bit the last couple games, and by a good bit, I mean like by four or five. Like, again, he didn't play a ton in the fourth yesterday, even though it was a blowout. It wasn't a blowout the whole fourth. And I also think he's been playing very well recently, where his stock is not at its all-time high necessarily, but it's higher than it was coming into the season.
It's also external team-wise.
I'm gonna go through teams here real quick. Like in my mind, obviously Orlando's the obvious one. They need offense so badly, and they're under 500 now, which is crazy.
Go get trade Simons and get their first this year.
Other than Orlando, like who else is looking for a scoring guard? Like, is the Knicks crazy? Like him coming off the bench? Do they have much scoring off the bench right now?
Well, they don't.
I just say that because that's the first contender I could think of in the list of them. Like the Bucks, they can't get him.
The Clippers,
unless the Clippers maybe. See, it's tough because Simons is like it's one of those guys where every team would want him, but would every team give up anything for him? Because it's like he's not that valuable, but he is. At the same time, yeah, you'd want him.
Detroit, if they want to make a playoff push, like
sure,
play next to Cade, because I think Simons is. I think he's a two at the end of the day.
Yeah, he's probably a two. Yeah, play next to Cade, big guard. So Simons is the smallest guy on the team. You don't want to put him next to a small guard. I don't know. Simons is tough. Cade, I feel like it's like 6'7".
Cade,
maybe
six,
I'm tripping.
No way.
He looks tall.
Simons is 6'4". He's not short.
Yeah, but he's thin. Cade is 6'6".
6'6". Sheesh.
I don't know. I think most likely to get traded just because of contract and how it's more likely to trade backups than non-backups is Robert Williams. Like he's honestly, if the Blazers keep him, like that's like there's zero reason to keep him. Zero. Like there's no excuse because like it's not hard to trade him.
I think he's going to the Lakers.
I wouldn't be surprised. And if he doesn't go to the Lakers, I could see him going to any other team in that's contending. Because isn't this the last year of his deal? It might be. I'm not sure. It's either this year or next year. Robert Williams contract. Robert Williams contract is... It's 4 year 48, but I'd like to know... How much more he has? He's got 1 year left after this. So that's still
another year of team control.
Valuable. It's 2 years of control. And then you can, if you really needed to, you could flip him next year as an expiring and people would do that. It's an easy contract to trade. So
yeah,
to trade also to like get back solely draft capital. You trade him, he's making $12 million a year. You trade him for salary filler and draft capital. Like Jeremy's harder to trade.
Jeremy and Ayton and just bigger numbers, but yeah, Time Lord. I would want, man, if you could. It's weird though. It's like the Mavericks got the Lakers 29 first. Like they're going to be good in 29 because Luka's there. So like the Lakers 31 first. Okay, I mean I think Houston for Robert Williams. I mean Robert Williams. They said Jabari Smith Jr. I'm fine with it. It's so weird. Like Robert Williams could go literally anywhere. He could go to Milwaukee. Because freaking Brooks sucks. So, like, you could try to get, like, I don't know who they wouldn't give, probably. But the thing is, Robert Williams is not worth a first.
Mm-hmm.
But packaged with Grant, and then the only thing I've seen, like, a packaging is L.A., you could get that 31 first.
Interesting. I feel like those are two valuable pieces in terms of positional value. Blazers schedule, though, coming up kind of before the trade deadline, and then over the next month, we have a tough little stretch, I would say, coming up. Yeah, tough stretch. We've got home Suns again tomorrow on Monday, home Pacers, home Kings, at Timberwolves, at Nuggets two times in a row, home Lakers. Home Lakers is our first game out of the All-Star break. Will Luka be playing by then? It's interesting. It's in Portland.
February 25th, Mavs, Lakers, TNT.
What's crazy, though, after that Lakers game, we go on a little stretch of Hornets, Jazz, Wizards, Nets.
So we will see. We'll see who's shut down by then if we do that.
I really think at this point the Blazers are, we will not see the Blazers tanking at the end of the year.
Unless we
go on like a quick 7-game losing streak over this next tough stretch, we will not be tanking, and we will just be competing the rest of the year. That won't mean anything. We're not touching the play-in, like as funny as that was to do a quick standings check.
We will have
the 7th best odds.
Can I add something? I feel like, and I've heard a lot of local Portland media, just when I listen to them about the team, they're so upset with the Blazers winning games because I feel like they think the only way to get good is you like find that guy, like a Wembanyama. Like, sure, like that can happen and that can set you on.
Yeah, Flag would be awesome.
But look at Houston. Like, what pick in the top? Who's been their best pick? Jalen Green went really high. He went 2.
Jalen Green and Jabari Smith aren't even their two most valuable pieces, and they were their two highest picks.
I know,
like, Thompson
was
4.
Like, I get that, but like Scoot went 3. So like Scoot, like we've had top 7 picks: Sharp, Klingon, Scoot.
I'd love to have Flag, but we drafted Scoot 3 because we said he's going to be the future. So like, let's just believe that.
Well, I'm just saying, like, it. I want people to realize, like, it's possible to, like, people are like, oh, wow, Blazers might, in my head, I was like, we're going to try to, like, win next year. Like, that felt like a fast rebuild, but, like, we've been not good.
It's not been fast.
And, like, it's really hard to find, like, how many times, I guess, is what I'm saying, is you go through a season, especially with the lottery system now, you go through a season and be like, we're going to get this guy. This is how we get back in contention. That's what Philly did with the process. That now you could win one game.
You can't do that anymore.
You can't do that anymore. So
no, you don't. Like, yeah, no, you don't even get a 25% chance. The best you can get is 14.
Facts.
The top, it used to be 25, which still isn't even that much. I think it's the top 3 just get a 14% chance, and that's it. Maybe I'm wrong. I'm gonna check that though.
I think top 4 in there, and then 5. But yeah, like, that's a good exercise. Like, how many of the top bottom 3 records have gotten the first pick in the past 5 years?
Yeah, 14. Like, right now the Blazers have most likely would get 8 or 9, and they have a 6% chance at 1, 6 at 2, 6 at 3.
If you want to be an analytical junkie and be all numbers, like, do you want a 14% chance at Flag or an 8% chance? And then can you quantify losing that 6%? Worth it to see development of these guys? I think it is.
Well, I just did a sim on Tankathon and we got the 2nd pick, so it's possible. It's possible. Is there anything else you have other than any more trade deadline stuff that you want to talk about?
I saw Duop Reese could be out the door too.
Hate that.
I'm being serious about that. I've seen some Jeremy to Milwaukee. Yeah, they're trying to shop Chris Middleton. It's crazy what teams could get if you shopped players. But I mean, I don't know if I'd be referring to there. But yeah, it's weird. The Blazers are in a weird spot with some of their veterans. I think Cronin, for as good as the talent accumulation has been, and the vision I can see now, and the Denny and the 2 stuff, like, you've held on to Jeremy too long. Like, you could have gotten more for him in the summer.
Yeah,
I mean, you've been holding. I get it's good to have a high asking price, but you got to be willing to take some risks.
Yeah, and we have the players now to take over what they were. So I think it's time to just move at the least move one of them, man. And bro, we still like Matisse on the bench.
Are you rooting for wins? Are you rooting for good performances from Scoot?
I'm not rooting for losses like I have been the last 2 years. I'll say it that way. I'm not sitting here. I'm not crying over losses.
You're watching the games.
Yeah, I'm enjoying it. I'm not just doing it because I have to talk about it. We're enjoying it.
You know what's the craziest thing is, like I said, I think I said this earlier in the pod, by the way, the Mavericks, the Cavs have 91 points at the half. The half. Whoa. It's 91-46. Holy crap.
Half.
Talk about 91 points in the half.
Wait, that's pretty much double the points.
46 plus 46.
What are they shooting, bro? The Cavs are shooting 66 from the field, 72 from 3. They're 16 of 22 from 3. Oh my gosh. Yeah, Dallas, it's Poor Clay. I'm kidding, bro. Bad. Screw Dallas. I don't. Actually, I do.
My internet is bugging right now, but the Blazers haven't just been beating teams. They've been killing teams.
Yeah, running them out the gym, especially the Magic, dude. We kind of smoked them in both games.
Dude, they are like, do you want a shooter or not? They're like, we want Colin Sexton. Oh, forget it, man. Forget it.
That's Colin Sexton. You have your Colin Sexton and Jalen Suggs. He's just better than Colin Sexton.
Exactly. Let's see. We beat Phoenix by 19. We beat the Magic by 29. The Bucks by 13. Okay, we beat the Hornets in a tank off. Destroyed the Magic and then comfortably beat the Heat and Bulls. Yeah, man. I don't have much more in terms of this pod. I think that it was a good pod for just like check in on. We've covered everybody. We talked a little Chauncey, a little Joe, a little each player on the roster, basically touched on trade deadline. Is there anything else that we're missing?
I think that's it. I think the next time you will hear from us is post trade deadline. We'll do a recap. Hopefully we're talking about something significant. I don't want to be quiet this trade deadline.
When's the trade deadline?
Thursday? Probably Thursday. It's normally on a Thursday.
Maybe we do a, depending on what we do, we could possibly be back like Thursday or this weekend.
Yeah. I'll be with you. It could be in person pod.
That'll make it easier to do.
Yeah. So that's all we got for the pod. Hope you enjoyed it. If you're listening on Spotify, we greatly appreciate it. And if you're listening on YouTube or Spotify, go over to our YouTube to hear our thoughts on the Anthony Davis and Luka Doncic trade. That was in episode 3 of the RCR show. So. Go Blazers. We'll see you next time. Peace out.